going on? Welcome to The Doug Show. I'm Doug Cunnington, and Matt Giovannisi is hanging out with me today in the studio. How are you?
In the stewed. I'm good. How are you?
It's awesome to have you over here. I'm doing really well. Looking forward to chatting. And this episode is going to cover your, the process and the decision-making of shutting down your podcast. Mm-hmm. And your email list and a lot of the other stuff that you were doing so that generally you could focus on Swim University.
Yep.
Okay. And people might remember you from being on the show. It's been a little while, but we have a similar audience.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of
crossover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so people have like a baseline. What was your podcast? Give us a little bit of history on your podcasting. You can keep it brief.
I was going to say, how far back do you want me to go?
Yeah. I have a lot of questions, but you can actually talk like your original pod and stuff like that, but keep it tight.
I'll talk about Money Lab. So it was called Money Lab, and originally it was just me and my buddy Andrew talking about business. Then he left, and I continued it where I just interviewed my friends, and then like friends in business, not just like friends of hanging, like just hanging out. Like, hey, what'd you do today? And then after that, I took a break. I actually let it go, but Justin from Transistor kept it live for me, and I decided to start like audio journaling, as you called it, I was walking around in my little brewery in my house, and talking out my business problems. And I was usually deleting them and then decided, well, I could just publish these voice memos as a podcast. And that was the new iteration of Money Lab, which ran for 2 years so from 2024, 2025, almost daily, like 3 times a week, then up to like 5 times a week, I would publish. And then in early January, so 2026, I kind of wanted to revamp things. I wanted to take it a little bit more seriously. I renamed it Business Casual because I thought Money Lab doesn't – I named it Money Lab because it was based on my blog, and my blog was me doing experiments around business. And I felt like Money Lab didn't really fit what I was doing now. So I was like, what does fit? And Business Casual was like a pretty obvious one when I thought of it. But I'm like, there's got to be other podcasts with this name. I can't be the only person that thought of it. I wasn't, but no one had the full name. Like everyone had like Business Casual Comedy or the Business Casual Podcast. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I'm just going to call it Business Casual. So that was it. And then I did that for, 3 months? And then shut it down.
And then you just quit.
And I just quit.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, at one point, I think I linked to it in an email I sent out a month or two ago or something. But when I Googled, because I was like, I want to make sure I put the right URL.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, there's a shitload of podcasts that have Business Casual in it. So it was very, I had to find it. It was not easily searchable.
Yeah, Money Lab too, though, because it's like crypto based. So there's a lot of crypto stuff on with the word Money Lab.
Gotcha. You know? Interesting. So some of the stuff we're going to talk about today is around what you were doing to improve the show. And then a little bit of a spoiler, the show wasn't growing, right?
No.
And that played a kind of a big role in the decision-making process, or how big of a role?
A role. It's not the big role. But yes, I'll roll.
Okay.
Definitely a reason. Yeah.
Both of us ended up with because I obviously still have this podcast.
Wait, what are we doing? what is this?
We were at some point selling something, and this served as the top part of the funnel or more relationship building and that sort of thing. I'm not selling anything anymore. I have no product. You had no product. Mm-mm. So it's a little, it's kind of fuzzy. At that point, it's a hobby.
Yep.
And a hobby that costs money.
Mm-hmm. Well, all hobbies cost money, right?
Yeah.
To some extent.
They should.
Like even like crocheting, you have to buy the yarn.
Yeah. But like even walking outside, there's a cost of time.
And sunburn.
Right? Yeah.
You know, you got to put on sunscreen.
You can cover up.
You got to buy hiking gear.
So when you think about it that way, then we're like, well, how much do you like it? Because we're spending time on it. So I could see where you ended up in that position. So a couple areas I want to focus on. One, what stuff were you trying in in January or whatever? In this year, you were like, hey, I'm going to try to do better on the show. What were some of the things?
You said something, I want to just draw attention to it, because when you call it a hobby, I'm thinking immediately, I'm like, well, yeah, I do this all day. This is fine. This is worth my time. Mm-hmm. Doing it by yourself is less so. This becomes like, well, I could be hanging out with my friends, and here I am just talking to myself, and I don't know who's listening. You know?
Right.
So it's very isolating versus this, where I would say having like a studio, having people over, talking about something that you're interested in, that's fun. That's legitimately fun. I don't know if what I was doing was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call it fun. So, sorry. Your question was, what did I try?
Oh, yeah.
And to improve it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, originally, what the podcast was, is me walking back and forth, pacing back and forth in a room similar to this size, on concrete, which probably is not good for my knees as a 42-year-old. That's what my dad told me. And I was talking into my phone. I was just doing voice memos. And so that's all it was. I had very rarely did I prepare a list of bullets to cover. Mostly I was solving my own problems in my own business. Sometimes somebody would email in a question and I would just answer it or give my take on it. That was pretty much the show. And the things that I did to improve it were, one, I tried for a while to actually prepare before going into the podcast. I found that to be less fun because I'm like, well, if there were things I needed to research, which was very rare because everything was about what I was current. Like, some of the podcasts would be like, all right, what did I do today? And then just go, okay, here's my checklist of things that I did in my own business, and here's why I did them, and here's the results of those things. So those things were fairly easy, but I would talk out of order, and I'm not a very linear thinker. I kind of jump around. So I feel like if you're listening to the podcast, you hear me jump around a lot. It's probably annoying, I would imagine. So I found that when I prepared even a little bit, like if I came up with an episode that was like, here are the top three things I did today, and I went down the list, even that simple, it was better. Mm-hmm. Instead of me in the moment trying to think of like, what did I do today? And mm-hmm. then sometimes stalling, whatever. So just the prep was one thing. Everything in me, and I've heard, you know, you had emailed in and said, dude, I know you do audio stuff. Get a better microphone. And I'm like, I've been actively not doing that because any friction that I add to the process is going to make it less fun. But in the brewery, I had this ATR USB-C mic, and I was like, let me see if this works. I plugged it in. I was like, oh shit, it works. Okay, well, all right, that's not that bad. Yeah. So I'm like, I have my phone in my hand, and I plugged in a microphone. And I was holding it like a stand-up comedian holds a microphone. And the audio quality for some people got worse because they said, oh, now the podcast is quieter and I have to crank you up. And I was like, yeah, because I'm not doing any post-processing to it. And so people were like, well, I didn't mind the ambient noise. And it was kind of fun. You would comment on the ambient noise and now you can't do that. And I was like, all right, so this is doesn't matter. You know, half people like it, half people don't like it. And I would be in your camp.
Mm-hmm.
Steph, my wife, was in your camp. So I'm like, well, okay, if my taste is there, I'm going to do that. That wasn't like I don't think it definitely didn't. I knew that improving the audio would not make the podcast better.
Right.
Like from a content perspective. And I was telling you, I'm like, you know, one of the most popular business podcasts is that Alex Hormozi podcast. And I'm like, I've listened to some episodes of that where I'm like, he's in a fucking gymnasium. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know where he is, but it's unlistenable to me.
Yeah.
Just because of the audio quality.
Yeah. And I'll jump in here. You sent me one and I was like, I don't pay attention to him. I watched a couple of things.
Uh-huh.
He has his shtick, which I don't enjoy.
Who he's oh.
Yeah, Alex
Hormozy. Oh.
Yeah. So I'm like,
I sent you I was like, didn't I send you
you
an
did.
Episode?
And I was like, it's horrible. But the problem is he had, it's like, he's too, it's unrelatable, right? He has other mechanisms to get people to his show. So like you saying, hey, there's a bad show.
Totally.
It's a bad example.
But
it's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant. And I also, to me, that was a case of, it has nothing to do with the quality of the audio and only to do
correct
with the quality of the content.
Or, I'm sorry.
Or yeah.
You're
or,
talking about growth. So yeah, the growth is different than the quality. So Alex has, or whatever big podcasts that are growing.
I mean, even you can use anybody. You can use, Gary Vee just does it handheld, like not purposely shitty, but.
It's authentic. It's in the field.
Yeah.
People are okay with it.
People are okay with poor quality. If and I say quality, because there's quality is subjective.
Sure.
You know? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And I knew just from doing this for so long that adding a nicer microphone doesn't make the podcast grow. Like
right.
I knew that. So, and it only added friction to my recording process. In this very specific case, adding the little extra microphone that was already sitting on the table was not that bad. And if it adds a little extra, you know, polish, then why not do it? But I knew that it wasn't going to needle move.
Yeah. There's not. No. Yeah. Like some people have said for my other show specifically, they're like, oh, you should add more cameras. Like you should have two camera angles.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if the audio is fine, no one's really going to give
and
a
I
shit.
And I can give you a million examples where they don't do that.
Yeah. And
that
it's like...
And they're perfectly pot. I mean, streamers.
And I've seen...
streamers get like tons of views.
Yeah. And I've seen really good setups that don't... It won't bring more people in. You have to do... It's different to look at the growth activity versus like improving the quality of an existing show. They're like completely separate streams of work.
Yeah, and yeah, like there's a show that I watch. I watch Hank Green on YouTube. He is like a webcam that he shoots on, you know. But the work that he puts into what he is saying is great. What he records with and his microphone is like,
it's fine.
I'm like, guy, get a nicer, you know, like
at least get a DSLR. Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? Get a little bokeh, you know. That's me. That's the work that I'm interested in that. And that's the work that I think it once you in, I don't know. I think it's wishful thinking because it's one of those things that doesn't require that much work to actually improve, you know, because it's like, oh, all I have to do is buy a new microphone.
Yeah.
Then everything will be better. And it's like, no, it is like years and years and years of like really, really hard work. And that's the thing. So those are just like little things that I tried to grow it. But, and I knew that like, I think I said this in the last episode, I said, oh, if I really wanted to grow this, like if I was like serious, I would be doing nothing that I'm doing right now. I would be doing everything different. It would be on YouTube because I would record, you know, in pajamas. Oh, I guess I'm kind of in.
He doesn't have pants on.
I don't have pants
there,
on
yeah.
or anything. If that's
he just rolled up.
I didn't.
Like
I thought there was going to be an open table, but he put a curtain there. a curtain on the table, a tablecloth, as they call it. So yeah, I was like, I know for a fact that if I put all of my energy into something, I could make it very good. I know I can, and that includes. Not just the quality of the product, you know, like the polish of it, but the substance also, like what's inside, you know, not just not just the packaging, but the substance. Mm-hmm. But that requires an ungodly amount of work for a business that I didn't want to be in and for products that I don't have anymore. So it's like, so then at what point does it become, I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I mean, like, exact same position where it's just like, okay, why am I doing this? Do I get something out of it? And you hit on it. I mean, mm-hmm. I've been trying to find the path of content that I want to cover. I did more solo shows because it's easier.
Yeah, it's easier. Yeah.
And then I interviewed a handful of people and I was like, oh yeah, it was fun to interview people and like make connections and all that kind of stuff. And then I texted you yesterday. I was like, hey, do you want to record? Yeah. You were like, yeah, you come over tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's just like, this is fun.
I'm literally like 5 minutes down the road, yeah, but yeah. It does take work and coordination to make that happen.
Yeah.
And that's just one day. So right. Like you have to constantly do that. There has to be a system. And then you start, you know, all of the things that you do to make something great, you create systems, the workload piles up. And for me, I'm like, but then what's the reward? Cannot just be, I got a show out and it was fun while we recorded it. But then, like, you know, you might spend hours on like thumbnail design and, you know, cleaning up the audio and editing. And like, there's all these other pieces that go into it. And so I feel like there needs to be some external reward system that is not just, well, that was fun. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know what I mean?
So
something.
Well, I was going to say, this is part, some notes that I was looking at and some other stuff that I was reading not too long ago. And I think about it all the time, just like the internal intrinsic drive versus external validation and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. We're talking before we started recording. On YouTube, this show is now just getting dozens, like under 100 views. And
that's wild.
And it used to, I mean, the channels had ups and downs and other stuff, and there's the algorithm you have to think about. Mm-hmm. But I told you, I was like, fuck the algorithm. And
yeah.
I'm like, I have to do this for an internal, and I'm not saying anyone's internal, external system of measure or success is valid or invalid. I'm just like, I have to have an internal drive and not give a shit about the views, even though people can see that.
Yeah, but you have to be willing in that case. Like, all right, if that were to happen to me, right?
Yeah.
I know that I'd have to be willing to adapt. Mm-hmm. I'd have to be willing to change my process. And that sucks because yeah. I don't want to change my process.
Change your process because you want to get more views.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's what you're chasing is the X. And I'm saying this in terms of like, there's a phrase that my dad says a lot and I say it a lot. I'm trying not to say it as much, but I say for who, for what. So mm-hmm. I'm like, what? So like sometimes I go like, what the fuck? Why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, who's this for? And if it's for you, like truly it's for you, you know, and that's how I approach my podcast. So I'm like, you know, like, yeah, people enjoy it. But the reason I'm doing it is because I'm getting my steps in and I'm getting mental clarity in my own business. I kept telling myself, I don't care if anybody listens, you know? Okay. That's what I told myself. And it was true for a while until I had another motivation, which was like, yeah, I know, but I just want some scoreboard. I want the number to go up. Mm-hmm. I think I just need that as a person. And yeah. It's the reason why I can't start anything without thinking of it in terms of a business. Like,
oh, that's horrible, man.
You know,
that's, you'll have to shed that.
So it's like when I started brewing, immediately thought about how to turn it into a business and not brewing, like not starting a brewery, but starting a channel around brewing or starting a brand around it or doing something. You know, we talked earlier about guitars. It's like the reason I play guitar is for something else. It's never just to like enjoy the process. It's literally for some sort of external validation. That may be something I have to go to a therapist for and figure out. Like I'm not saying that it's not healthy or unhealthy or it's like, oh, that's how everybody thinks. But I like it. Well, the thing is like, if I'm really just doing it for myself, then why wouldn't I just do leisure? Like, why don't we just go buy a boat? You know what I mean? Something that's like, intrinsically everyone agrees this is like, there's no way to make money at this. Like, you know what I mean? You can't turn this into a business even if you tried.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
go out in the boat with some beers, like relax.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, like, yeah, every hobby that I have, I mean, I do, you know, I have a home brewing hobby, which I mean, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to make content around it because mm-hmm. I'm like, well, wait a minute. This thing that I'm doing is the hobby.
Mm-hmm.
So to add another thing on top of it stops me from doing the thing because it's like, well, I can't just go out in my garage and brew a beer. I have to film it also. And then I have to edit it. And then I have to write music for it. And then it's like, and all of those things can be fun. You know, they all have elements of fun. But then I go, well, but then I'm adding friction to this thing that should be relaxing. So back to what you were saying about like growing this show. It's like right now, this is a relaxing, fun way to do it. If I start chasing the algorithm, then it becomes this job. And yes, you grow, but at what cost or for who, for what? Like, what's the point
right.
of doing this? Like, because if we're going to chase the algorithm, this thing better make money.
Yeah,
so it's like, well, then we need sponsors and then we need this. And then it's like, well, now I just have a job.
Yeah, yeah. You created a job.
Created a job.
The what's interesting, well, like I said, there's a lot of parallels, but I'm like.
Well, I feel like you're in a different position.
Okay.
Maybe. And you tell me. Because I feel like I have the job. And I keep trying to run away from it in a way where it's like, I have a job where I have the YouTube plaque
right.
and I have a blog and I have like, I do all the same things.
Right.
So here I am trying to like also do it as a hobby. And it's like, but you already like, yeah. Whereas I feel like this is your whole thing. This is it. Mm. So you could, right. You could chase the algorithm.
Oh, right.
Because you're not running away. You're not like, well, I have this other business that's like crushing right now. And so this would be like my extra little hobby thing. And it's like, yeah, you could make it a job if you wanted to. And it wouldn't be that bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like you're not taking away from something else to do that.
Correct. Yeah. What he's saying is I don't work anymore.
This is your job.
Yeah. But I mean,
you treat it as a hobby.
Yeah. But it's not really, I was going to say the revenue used to be significant, but it is not anymore. So it's barely.
But it could be.
Potentially, if I wanted to.
If you wanted to, right.
And here's one thing, I think both similar. So like, I have chased the algorithm before and I have sold things and mm-hmm. I'm like, I've proved to myself that I've done it before in a couple different areas. Yeah. I probably got lucky in a few different ways with timing and other things. I don't think it's like not all merit based. There's plenty of luck. And you have too. So mm-hmm. I wonder why you feel like you needed to have it for Business Casual.
Why I needed to have what?
Yeah, why you needed to have the views and growth.
Oh.
Because you know you can do it. You're doing it elsewhere. But why do you need it everywhere?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think I have to go to a therapist to figure that out. Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
I do know this about myself, which is I do need the pat on the back. I need a good job, boy. You did good.
Okay.
As some sort of metric for like, hey, did anyone see what I did? But I don't think it can come from one person, you know, like it can't come from dad, you know, it has to come from everyone all at once. It's like attention, you know, like
interesting. Thing. Okay. And I wonder, yeah, obviously it gets back to
I don't know. I could be misdiagnosed.
You'll have to go to a therapist, like you said, to get
it
all.
That's the thing is the thing is I'm walking away from this, but I have it in spades, you know, it's like, you know, so it's like I put up a YouTube video on Swim University and I'm like, yeah, look at all the people watching me. This is great. Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And the thing is like,
I don't think that, by the way.
You made you made a few, your final episode, because you kind of had a farewell. You sent an email out, mm-hmm. and I felt like it was a little abrupt, because I knew in previous episodes. It
definitely was abrupt, yes.
And you were like, yep, I'm gonna turn off the show. I'm going to delete it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to delete the email list, which I think you had just activated in the last quarter or whatever.
Yeah. And I paid for a full year.
And you, okay. And then
you can't get that money back.
You did. Yeah, you did all the. Oh, and you even had a paid version of, uh-huh. you were sending it from.
ConvertKit.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So overall, you had kind of a lot of stuff in place.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is crazy. And then you published an episode where you talked about focus. And I mean, I wanted to talk about this because you had a lot of momentum and you like podcasting and yes. you had a few reasons why you were doing this. This being the Business Casual podcast and the email list. And then you abruptly stopped.
Yes.
How did you end up making the decision?
It had a lot to do with Swim University. We're heading into season. For pool season. And I just got it in my, like, so in Business Casual, in that world, in that new iteration of the podcast, there had been 9 episodes that I titled Focus. And each time I did an episode titled Focus, it was me telling myself, all right, whatever shiny object you're chasing or thinking about chasing, come back to the path. But every single time I recorded those, I'd always say, well, this podcast that I'm doing doesn't count, you know? So it was fitting that I had done 9 of them. And then the last episode, I was like, oh, I'm going to call it Focus 10 because it's the episode where I actually delete the thing that is taking my attention away. Now, is it really? Because people, you know, would say, like, is it really taking your attention away? It sounds like if you go through your archives that it has helped you in your business for 2 years. And that is true. It doesn't mean I'm not going to continue to do that activity. I'm still recording episodes and then just deleting them like I was before. But there's no pressure now to do it 3 days a week or to pay the money to have it up or to just sit there and like every single time I would go to upload episodes, I'd look at the analytics and go like, yeah, still the same number of people, still it, not growing at all. This episode didn't resonate. Okay. You know, some people would email me. And they would, and you know, the most emails I got obviously were from the last episode, right? Because it's, and they were like, wow, the irony that this last episode hit the hardest for everyone. And I'm like, no, it's because I'm doing something that you all think you should do. So it's like, I'm quitting the thing that doesn't make money to focus on the thing that does. And if we're talking about business, it is, I have to kill the things that don't work. I have to kill the darlings in order to, you know, really put really whole ass one thing, you mm-hmm. know. Now in terms of like is it really going to save me time? Well, the steps thing was really interesting because somebody had emailed in and said he didn't say your steps are bullshit, but in so many words I read it as that, which is like, no, you're not getting steps, you're pacing. If you really want to get 10,000 steps and you're really trying to be healthy, you need to go on a brisk walk where you're like kind of out of breath. And I go, all right, fine. You know, like I kind of took it as like, what do you know? Mm-hmm. Are you a doctor? Mm-hmm. And then I went to a doctor and he was like, yeah, you gotta, like what you're doing is kind of bullshit. And I was like, oh, well, I mean, I know, but nah.
It's, well, and like I tend to, there's a middle ground. It's yeah. better than sitting.
It's for
but
sure.
But it's not as good as like a pure, some other exercise. Fill in the blank. It could be lifting right. weights or whatever kind of shit.
So now yeah. I'm doing both. So it's actually less time because I am getting those steps done faster because I'm moving faster. Mm-hmm. So what used to take me like 2 hours a day of podcasting, sometimes not about my own business, sometimes just to get out there and do steps, it would be about someone else's business, which didn't really help me. So now I'm like, oh, I go and do my elliptical and I'll go outside and I'll crush the steps in 30 minutes to an hour. And now I've gained an hour back of my time that I am putting into Swim University, which I wasn't putting into it. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. But it's also the mental load, which this is something I talked a lot about on the show, where it's like just removing things from my plate mentally allowed me to do better work at Swim University. So like just a simple one, like just not having like I have like house projects that are just like living in my brain that I need to do, and just not having those either finished or someone else taking care of them, like yeah. removes the mental load, or just owning things. You know, it's like I got did a lot of work on like use what you have. I stopped buying a lot of stuff because like every time I would buy something, I'm like, oh, that's still sitting in a box upstairs, you know, like, or that's still, you know, I gotta do that, blah, blah, blah. And so all that just adds mental load. And it's like, well, you know, I think it's less about the sadness of quitting and more about the excitement of growing something that I've been doing for 30 years that I have just now accepted that like I'm okay with it. So to give you a specific like peek into my world, I don't like telling people that I do Business Casual as a podcast. I don't like that. I'm like, oh, what do you talk about? I talk about online business. It's like, all right, it's kind of like whatever. To me, it's I like when I subvert expectations of people. So to tell people that I am this like huge pool boy on the internet, mm-hmm. you know, physically and, you know, view wise, I feel like that just that delights me. Mm-hmm. They're like, what do you do for a living? I'm like, oh, I'm the internet's pool boy. And it's like, that's to me like, oh, and then I show them and they're like, oh, you really are. And I'm like, that's not a joke. And I'm like, that delights me.
Yeah.
But telling them I do a podcast about business feels to me like I don't feel that good about it because I don't have anything to like. And I'm not proud of that fact. I just did it because it's the thing I'm interested in. It's the thing I want to talk about. But I don't think it's fun to tell other people. And that's stupid, but it does help. It does help, you know, and it also helps to be like, what do you do? And it's like, well, I could pick three different things. So which one do I tell this person? And I'm like, no. I tell everyone now the same thing. I'm in porn. That's did that once.
It's interesting. Like, you are not proud to talk about, or you don't think it's impressive for someone to talk about business. Or you just didn't feel like you were impressive.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because.
Like, what gives you the right?
Me?
No. No. I mean, like, people saying that, like, to me.
Yeah.
Like, what gives you, like,
Well, the reason.
I understand from, like, a lifestyle perspective.
Yeah.
You know, like, I chose this path. I also think, too, you see, like, the culture has changed, it has flipped. It used to be hustle culture.
Yeah.
And then for a while, it was, I think after 2008, it was very lifestyle business. Like it's cool to be chill, you know?
Okay. Go ahead. Now it's
now
what?
It's the other way. Now it's like, it's reversed, but way harder.
More hustle?
Yeah, but way more brutal.
I think we're consuming different content. I'm in my own world.
That's fair.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I was a couple years behind. So
you're not in the manosphere? I'm just getting blasted with looks maxing. And
Well, I was going to say, I thought lifestyle was more in the maybe the teens, like the 20 teens or so. But I'm a little bit out of the loop.
I feel like after 2008 is when fire took hold, right? Like as a movement, like it really got a lot of traction after the downturn.
Yeah, I think, I mean, around then, I mean, mm-hmm. I think like Mr. Money Mustache Pete, he started his blog in like 2011. And then I think it got big and all
really?
The way up
2011?
Until, yeah, and then like 2018 was maybe, the peak, and then it's kind of been even right now. But
so like I don't, it's like so what I'm seeing in the personal finance space, right, is friggin' Caleb Hammer yelling at everybody, right? Graham Stephan, who's living in some friggin' mansion in Vegas, right? I don't see the like fire, like at the level of every, you know, it's like the level of like the Gary V in business. I don't see that in like, it's everybody's financial maxing. You know what I mean? It's like
totally different content. The algorithms are feeding us completely. And I've blocked the couple crazy people that you've mentioned. I'm like, you know what? They kind of irritate me. Everybody.
Oh, it's
like,
I mean, I can't stand it.
And it's like everything has like a little negative tinge because that does well algorithmically. So I'm just like
crypto.
I'm not doing
when crypto
that.
Got huge, yeah. And then friggin' now stock trading is like day trading is huge. I'm like, I thought we all collectively agreed that this is a dumb idea.
Yeah.
And now we're all back to it.
Yeah. Well, I assume people are selling stuff. And I was going to say, I remember I had some of our peers that they did really well. Maybe they had a windfall of money. And like when I had that, I invested it in index funds.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know what? I kind of like to, I'm a stock picker. I'm pretty good at it. Pretty sure those motherfuckers are working now. I mean, like,
oh, I know. Yeah, yeah.
I feel
for sure.
bad. I mean, it turns out that they're not smarter than
yeah. The... I you know, and it is an algorithm thing because I feel like the like if you're not going to talk about extremes, then it's really hard to gain traction in this modern. You know, look at Mr. Beast. It's like if you're not willing to spend millions of dollars and giving away money to, you know, random people, then like, how are you supposed to compete? You know? And I understand that there's other people like, you know, Ryan Trahan who doesn't spend any money. And it's like, he also gets, you know, those views, but, and I'm not, I don't know if, I don't even know why I'm making this argument. Cause I'm like, I don't agree with it, but I feel like in terms of like business, I think I'm very insecure about the business that I've built because I don't think it's like, and I always said this in the show, I'm like, look, I'm only going to talk about me. I don't like giving advice because I don't think I really know anything. I've just been doing my thing long enough in the way that I like to do it. And if that resonates with you, cool. But please don't ask me to give advice on your business because I think I'll make the wrong decision for the business because I'm only thinking about what I'm willing to do.
Right.
You know, so it comes from a very like, I don't want to say selfish place, but like, that's all I know is me. I don't study business. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't study other people's businesses.
So going back to you mentioning like not thinking that you had the authority to have a business podcast. So you were a little embarrassed. But the thing is, it's hard to be self-employed and you've been doing it for a long time. Yeah. So I get it. And I think for a period I was doing like mentoring for a startup accelerator. So it's like entrepreneurs, inexperienced entrepreneurs sometimes trying to figure out like how to run their business. And the fact that you're like, you pay your mortgage, like you have, like you've made a good living.
Yes.
Like that's the authority because it's really fucking hard to like run a small business year after year and like manage your cash flow and like just keep everything going.
Yeah.
So just.
But I do think, okay, so you're right. But I think I'm in a special industry sometimes. I know that's fake. I know that's false, but like when someone's like, "Hey, how do I grow this? You know, this fashion business?" I'm like, "I don't know. Like, I've never done that before. Like, I don't know the first thing about fashion."
Yeah. Well, from a mentoring standpoint, you don't really give people answers. You just ask a lot of questions. So it's like you don't really want to. So
I know, but
that's a little different than like coaching, where you're anyway. Like,
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But I don't. So for a while, I thought that's why I changed the name, because I was like, well, Money Lab isn't really what I'm doing. What I'm doing is talking about running my lifestyle business. I feel like that term isn't entirely great. You know, like, I don't know if that's because, like, I also don't have a crazy lifestyle. Like, my lifestyle isn't interesting. You know, I mean, I work and then that's it. You know, like, I don't do anything like, I'm not on the beach all day. And like, mm-hmm. I work from the beach and I have.
We're near the mountains.
I'm in the mountains. Sure. Yeah. I was like, I have piles of cash. You know, I drive a Lamborghini and I, you know, but I don't work. You know, it's like, I don't have that.
Passive income.
Yeah. I don't do passive income. Like, so I thought, yeah, this will be my lane. My lane will be this like very small sliver of people who are like, who are completely fine running a business with a very small team making under $1 million a year. This is great. I can live here. And I just feel like, I don't know if anybody wants that. I know people want it, but I don't think it's hard to seek out. It's hard to find. Right. Because it's not sensational in any way. So in terms of like the algorithm, if I am going to take business casual seriously, right, first thing I do is put it on YouTube. So there ups the budget in terms of like what I would have to produce. And I would put a lot more effort into researching show topics. And I know, because I know it's very topic based. And I would understand that it's not going to grow to, you know, Gary V levels of business, because it's like we're not covering those things. And I'm not a sensationalist when it comes to, I don't talk like him, you know, I don't say ridiculous things. But I would at least do my research in terms of what are we talking about. Like I would get narrower in what I was trying to what I was trying to say, and get really, really clear on that, and then have very clear expectations on like what people, like I would be listening to the audience, like what do you want as a collective, not just individually. And that's the content I would make, which would not be for me. Like it would be me saying things I have said a billion times, just in a different way. I know that that would grow. What do you sell those people? You know? That's where I get a little, it gets a little murky for me, because it's sort of the financial problem, right? And we had this issue at, when we were doing List of Money Matters. At no point when we did the personal finance podcast, I never wanted to sell a personal finance product to people we were trying to get out of debt. Like we were helping people get out of debt, budget, get better with their money. People like me. Why would we sell them something? I feel like that's the complete opposite. And so I wanted to take the Robin Hood approach, which was let's take money from people who have the money and basically provide services to, like, you know, we can do this podcast as a free service for anyone who's broke or, you know, who doesn't have money or is trying to get better with their money. And we'll take our money from Betterment or Fidelity or any of these big ass banks who provide services that they all need that don't cost money out of pocket to just mm-hmm. to learn something or just to have a new tool. So I think that that's the best way to do it. So like, what does that look like in the business world? And what am I not giving you in this podcast that I could sell you on top? It's probably a service. It's probably some type of like business service, which I would feel better at doing. But that's a whole nother company. Like that's a whole nother thing to build. And mm-hmm. so I'm like, or advertising. And so I'm like, well, advertising is the correct answer here because I'm running a media business. I want to make this thing great. The way I'm making money is not taking it from my audience, but instead taking it from companies who need to reach my audience. I'm okay with that. It is more work, but I'm like, well, I don't want to do that. So then for who, for what? Why is this existing? Like, what am I doing? What would I do if I didn't have to do this? Where could I allocate those resources, brain and physical? Where would I allocate those resources? And the answer was with no question, like Swim University, mm-hmm. which is my actual business that is a media company that provides a service and has products. So it's like, okay, well, then I should probably do that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's not that it's not fun. It wasn't fun. It was something to do. And again, I still do it. It's just no one hears it. you know.
Do you still pace in the garage? Yes. Or you said you walk outside some now?
Now I do both. Yeah. So I'm doing the garage thing rarely. I only do it if I need to, like, so as an example, I am working on a long form video for some university. Like it's the first time we're making a video over 30 minutes long, because that's what the algorithm wants. They want long videos now. They want podcasts. So we're doing a long one, and I'm the one doing all of it. So in order to get – so basically, instead of me sitting in a quiet room taking notes and figuring out my script, I talk everything out onto a voice memo, and then I will feed that transcript into some type of AI that will organize it for me without changing – any words or adding new hallucinations, and build a script from that. So I still use it for work, but yeah, I'm not publishing that sure. raw audio for somebody to hear. It's not, you know, cause that's the thing is, like, I thought, oh, well, I can still do a podcast, but I'll make it about pools. And like I said earlier, no one wants that. So I'm like, and also, do I really want to talk about pools on a podcast all day? No.
Yeah.
It's my job, and I'm fine with it being my job. I just want, like, actual leisure. And that's what I said in the show, too, at the last episode, which is, like, the thing that I'm bad at is leisure. I try to turn everything into a business. So
yeah.
So what does it look like if my workday is done at, like, 6, 7 o'clock at night? What am I going to do? And I don't have kids, so, like, mm-hmm. I don't.
What time do you start?
10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Still being though, honest. Man. Jesus fucking. That's a long day of work. I like, obviously. Oh,
I
don't.
I mean, so I usually go from. So, I mean, I get up at like 7 mm-hmm. and I don't start till 10. So I have 3 hours of breakfast, showering, doom scrolling, what have you.
Yeah.
Right. And then, like today, I got started at 9:30, but that was today was a weird day. But yeah, usually 10, and then I'll work until like dinner, which is usually like pretty early for me, 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. And then if I literally don't have anything to do, if I'm like, I find myself being bored quite a bit, I go, well, I'll just go work. So I'll just go back down and start. I'll do like little easy things, like SEO-y things, or like changing a thing on a website here and there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but yeah, that's usually my schedule. And it's like 5 days. I don't do it on the weekends.
Yeah.
Unless I do.
Interesting. Yeah. If you're a little bored.
If I'm bored.
Yeah. So my friend Carl and I were working, on a book.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. We were working on a book on laziness and anti-productivity. Uh-huh. We never got around to finishing it because we really took it to heart. Although
that's like so funny.
Yeah. It we actually worked on it quite a bit. Funny thing is though, Carl, he's been retired for like 7 or 8 years now. Uh-huh. And he has so many projects. Like there are home projects or his own personal projects. But he's incredibly busy all the time.
Yeah.
Like, he quit the podcast because he's so busy, basically. I've taken a different route. So I was going to say, like, when I've talked to people, because you're used to working and you're like, I don't have much to do. You're like, I could always do a little bit on the business. And hopefully you'll be able to break that habit because there's so many cool other things to do. And
name one.
Well, I was going to say, I don't even have enough time to, I want to play more music. I want to practice guitar more so I'm a little bit better when I'm playing with other people. And even though I really do want to do that, I end up like just playing a few minutes most days, but not nearly enough. And I need to have some more structure around that. And that, I mean, I'm not going to make money at it. It's purely a fun pursuit. And I'm that it like knowing that I'm not going to be super awesome ever. I'll get much better. And I have a great capacity to work on it. However, it's a hobby and I'll always be, it's great.
On that note.
Yeah.
I, like to be clear about the goal orientedness. It doesn't need to be money. mm-hmm. necessarily, right? In the case of like the podcast, it was views. It was some external validation. I think a lot about I thought a lot about the guitar thing, right? Yeah. And doing music. I guess it's not obvious. So I was in a band for a long time, and before I was in a band, I learned guitar because I wanted to be in a band. So like when I started guitar, and my dad was also a musician and grew up in music, like a music world. So that was part of our fun as a kid. Like that's what we did, music. And then as I got older, I picked up the guitar, because before that I had played like drums, I'd played saxophone, all kinds of stuff, keyboards. When I picked up the guitar, the goal was to start a band from day one. So I had a reason to get good. And mm-hmm. I went to lessons. Like I had a 30-minute, you know, lesson every single Wednesday. I showed up, I did the work, and then I did the work enough to write songs. And then once I could, you know, string two chords together, which didn't take long, I'm writing songs. And then I formed a band, and then my whole goal in life was to become a famous musician, like a paid rock star. That did not happen, and that was the day I stopped playing guitar. And I still have guitars, but I don't have my reason to do it anymore, unless there's a video idea I have or something where I need music and I just feel like doing it myself. Just mm-hmm. But there's always an external reason for doing it, not just to get good, you know? And that's why I have that phrase for who, for what, because I'm like, well, I need this to be for something. And it doesn't have to be money-based. It can be anything-based. So to talk about homebrewing, which is something we both do, I think I am totally – there was a long time where I got obsessed and I brewed all the time because I was trying to perfect one style of beer. And it took me a long time to do it. It took me 3 years to do it. Once I did that, I've brewed so much less beer. Because I lost the thing I was trying to accomplish. Now I can invent the new thing. So what I tried to do this year, so I didn't brew at all last year because I'm like, I need a break. Mm-hmm. And what I decided to do this year was I'm like, oh, I'm going to make it a YouTube channel. So like, this is going to be my new goal. And then I just realized that like, well, that's my goal. That's what I do at, that's my job at work. This isn't leisure. So I'm like, what's the – so now – and then every time I make beer and people come over, they don't drink it. Everyone brings their own shit. You know, we drink – and I don't drink it. So it's like –
when you invite me over, I usually drink your beer.
You do. But when I lived in Boulder, I had a neighbor who used to come over and just like
– crank them.
Yeah. I'm like, thanks, bud. Yeah. You know, and he was like, you make the best beer. And I'm like, yeah. So and I'm like, I could do it just for him. I'd be like, oh, dude, I got a new – what do you like? Because I'll make it for you.
Yeah.
When I had my wedding, I made all the beers for my wedding. Like,
it was killer. You had cocktails on tap. Yeah. It was crazy.
So it's like I just need the external goal, and I'll do it. I lost that for business. I lost it. Like, I lost the thread, you know?
And do you – like, were you like – I mean, you were like that as a kid. Mm-hmm. And then I was going to say – yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I obviously don't have that. Or I let a lot of it go. I was very probably goal-oriented before, but I failed, like you, reaching many goals. A lot of it was like corporate-related. And then once I was like, this is kind of bullshit, then when I was running my business, that went pretty well. But I also... I had my foot in two areas, one being like the entrepreneurship, kind of, I guess what you were saying, like the hustle culture, like maximizing.
Totally.
And then I was like, well, I'm also in this financial independence retire early where they're like, oh, this is actually enough. Mm-hmm. So I was like, that fits me better. And then I turned down all of my overachieving tendencies from, I don't know, maybe many years of school and the career area. And then once I turned that down, I was like, my stress level dropped by whatever, 80% or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, really nice. Yeah. And the other part is like the bandwidth, which you talked about before. And some people may be thinking, that's not too much. You were just, you removed friction, but it's still something. And when when I hear, sometimes folks are advice that I've heard before, someone's like, oh yeah, you know, you start your podcast and then, well, you should put it on, you know, go ahead and put it on YouTube. And then, well, you should go ahead and do clips and it'll be easy. It's not that much. Just do clips on every fucking platform.
Yeah, and I'm like, and then AI it. And it's like, yeah, but it all makes it shitty. And then it doesn't grow.
And then it's a huge amount of stuff. And it's just like, if you like Instagram, do that. But if you don't like it, fuck it. Don't even pay attention. And you were like, I'm going to do my pod. I'm not going to put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Because that is a whole,
I know what that's
huge
cost.
Level of effort and time and all that stuff.
And the thing, there's three things. I always had like a B word so I had like in my life, like, well, who I am. It's like business. It was beer was the other one. And then I couldn't think of the other B. It was like sometimes I it would be like building. So it was like, that was my house. So I thought my house that I bought was going to be like a goal of mine. And it turns out that, oh, I hate this. I'm not a handy person. I did it for 5 years and it just – and talk about mental load. Like that starts to stack and I realized – that, oh, I don't think I'm a house person. Like, I don't think I'm a house builder. Business is one thing. But then I was like, you know, then with the podcast, I'm like, well, maybe it's my health. Maybe it's like the 10,000 steps getting, you know, shredded, thin, whatever, you know. Which that definitely is it. That's definitely still in there. And the third thing I've been trying to like, so it's like business, beard kind of, doesn't work for any of it. Doesn't it hurts the business because if I'm hungover, I'm not working, and if it hurts my body because I'm losing,
so good.
You know.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, that can't be one of the pillars of my existence. So it can still be there, and it will always be there, but it can't be a pillar, right? So then I was like, what could it be? And this, I said this in the podcast too, is I'm very bad at leisure. I think you are very good at leisure. I think most people don't have to practice it probably. They're probably like constantly leaning towards leisure. That's not my MO. Like I lean towards work. So when like even, and this has been my whole life. So like, it's not that I've been bad at leisure. I've always had a job since I was 13. I worked weekends. So when everyone else was waiting for the weekend, that was my time to work after I'd already been in school or whatever. So to me, work is comfort, is leisure to me, you know, in some ways. But I feel like I don't take vacations. I tweeted once that I'm like, I don't go on vacations. Like, I don't need them. And then people got really upset at me because they're like, you can't be going out there telling people not to vacation. I'm like, I didn't say that they shouldn't vacation. I just said I don't vacation.
But that's the implication. Like you're saying, I can do it and you're a pussy.
It sounds like hustle culture.
Yeah.
It absolutely is.
You didn't mean it that way, you're just like, I do this, but
I prefer to work. But I've also built a company where it's like my work isn't stressful. It's not hard. I enjoy it. So, you know, do I enjoy every day? No, but it's not like I don't have to deal with clients breathing down my neck or bosses, you know. So I think my third thing and one of the reasons for giving up the podcast and for giving up Brew Cabin, because that's part of this, is leisure. How do I get good at that? I don't know, to be honest. Do I buy a boat? That sounds like so no. So here's the thing.
No boats.
I think about boats a lot because I go, because boats to me are the ultimate sign of leisure. I love boating. Love it. But then I think about the amount of work it takes to own a boat. Like just the just like all the, I'm like, pass. So what is leisure?
Interesting.
Every jet skis, like, or wave runners, right? Ultimate
you know, how do you, you know, it's like the Daniel Tosh joke. It's like, you've never seen anybody unhappy on a jet ski. So I'm like, okay, jet ski. Every single person I know who owns a jet ski, it's broken. It's in the shop. Something needs to be fixed, or it breaks in the middle of the ocean. So like, I even know people who've died on them. So like, no, that can't, that's not leisure, right? Owning more shit isn't leisure. I don't know what it is outside of drinking, and I know that that's bad. So I am in that journey to figure that out. I'm not there yet, but it's part of giving up these work elements. So it's like, oh, okay, I know my work now is just Swim University.
Yeah, yeah.
If I do anything today, if I do nothing, as long as it's Swim University work, then a day, well, you know, anything else is bonus.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Couple observations. One, thanks. I am good at leisure.
Yeah.
I also started working when I was like, not to one up you, but when I was like 12. And I cut grass.
I don't
know
how this is legal, by the way.
I mean, I cut grass. So I was self-employed.
Were you getting a paycheck?
No, no. I mean, I went around and I was like, can I cut your grass? So
I got a paycheck.
Yeah.
That, so like that, I'm like, how?
That is interesting. Well, it was back in the day, they were like, so the other thing, yeah, I worked a ton, yeah, worked weekends, yeah. But I shifted and I also, I mean, like we have the drive to be productive,
yeah.
But I've also like changed the way I think of productivity. So one of the big things that you mentioned that I changed into like one of my main activities is like health and fitness.
Yeah.
Because that's probably like the most important thing that we could spend time on. And it's super easy. I was chatting with someone yesterday who she worked in big tech. So she was like super stressed, ignored her health for years, yep. Ate bad food, didn't exercise. So she's trying to, she recently stopped working. She's working on like getting her health back.
Mm-hmm.
But basically you could spend hours per day like trying to figure that out, even if it's just like walking outside, getting a few more steps, burning a few more calories. And it, I mean, you're turning the corner in that you're expanding your steps and you're doing more and more.
Yeah.
But I last fall inadvertently, I didn't even notice it. I was like, I'm getting a few less steps per day. It was mm-hmm. about 2,000 steps per day for about 3 months. And just ever so slightly, I started like putting on more fat, and it's just a couple thousand steps a day. Not much. It's like 1 mile per day. So I realized it, and now I've like added a back, and I'm like, oh, it's a little travel,
yeah.
Little sloppy eating.
Yeah.
But,
oh yeah. It's really easy to slip the other way. So my thing with, health specifically is I'm very black and white when it comes to my thinking. But weight loss or any health thing is kind of you literally can't spend 16 hours a day focusing on your health, right? I'm asking, because otherwise your knees will be shot, or like, you know, like you can definitely be overworked in that area. So I'm like, I feel like between leisure, which I think is a mental game, leisure is like a mental health thing. Health, which is like physical health,
mm-hmm.
and work. None of those can be done all day. Maybe leisure could. I don't know.
You could do a lot of leisure. I think
like at what, because I'm like, it's probably not healthy to go on the elliptical for 6 hours a day.
Right. Yeah,
right. You know what I mean?
That's,
you know,
like, it's like, or David Goggins.
Yeah.
Stuff,
yeah.
Which
it's maximalizing, right? It's like that whole,
yeah,
it's a health maxing.
He's, he was interesting when I first heard him, and then I was like, I'm not that angry.
I guess if you're Brian Johnson, you can spend all of your time on
right.
on health.
But you're right. I think you could spend a lot, and I'm not thinking from a fitness standpoint. I think a lot of it can just be walking slowly, like like the pacing you were talking about. Mm-hmm. But you could definitely overtrain. I've overtrained in the past and injured, like at least to injury, but
so,
moderation for everything.
So I kept trying to find my three pillars, right? The problem is that one of those pillars would always outbalance the other one. So like I mentioned beer as one of my pillars, or even just homebrewing. Mm-hmm. It hurts the other two.
Yeah.
Right? Doing too much business hurts, you know, being physically healthy or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I had to, I was like, okay, doing too much business or having, or like even the house thing, like I'm like, oh, I'm going to do house projects. One, there's probably a day that that stops. If you only own one house, if you're somebody who has multiple houses, whatever, like, but that also is a crazy amount of time that it takes up. And sometimes it's not like you get to choose when to do stuff. The house chooses you when it's time to do stuff. So it's,
that's true.
There's a balance to it, and it's not super healthy sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. you're breathing in, you know, sawdust and shit. So I know I'm being like, that's a little hyperbolic. I get that. But I feel like the idea of like, I have my little business time, my little business time. I got health time, mm-hmm. right? And I have leisure time. Those things fit together. Like they're perfectly balanced.
Yeah.
And having the podcast and having the extra YouTube channel is just more in the business category. Correct. And in the beer category. And just adding more to that plate, and then it gives me zero time for leisure, which is really mental health recovery, mm-hmm. and then physical recovery. You know, physical health is like, you know, that. So I'm like, okay, is it okay to just, and I've been saying for 9 episodes, what's your one thing that makes, you know, is your business part, is your income based thing. I'm not saying that you can't have other income streams, right? I always say, like, at SWIM University, we have multiple income streams at SWIM University. And then I have, like, I do, you know, investing like everybody else. I very much believe in the FIRE principles. And, you know, my goal is to not necessarily retire from work, because I do enjoy working. I think it needs to be a pillar in my life forever. But I want to be able to not work. Mm-hmm. You know, like I want that
option.
Mental lift, or that mental like relief, mm-hmm. to be like, well, I don't have to.
Right.
I don't have to do this. I choose to do this now.
Yeah.
I'm still in a position where I have to do this. Mm-hmm. Like it's my income. And if it disappears, yeah, maybe I could coast for, you know, a couple of years, but like I'm going to need something. Yeah.
Yeah. And that makes it, like, when we reached that spot, I was able to make different decisions.
Yeah.
And I still like working. I mean, this is working, yeah. but I shifted it to what I wanted and reduced it dramatically. And some people, they continued to want to do a pretty solid, like, you may be, I'm not prescribing anything to anyone, but mm-hmm. maybe you're like, oh, I still want to do like 30 hours a week. For me,
yeah.
about 5 to 10 is yeah. about right. And I think I might formalize this a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
I've been a little loose recently where I'm recording, I publish, I do my stuff, but I think I might batch a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I've done this in the past where I'm like, I'm not doing shit for 6 weeks.
And what's the point of batching? Like, why would you do that?
It's just formalizing my schedule a little bit more. So like in 1 week, I'm like, I'm on, like I recorded earlier this week with someone, we're chatting now, and I just kind of have everything set up, it runs a little better. So I'm not trying to like gain big efficiencies other than when my leisure time is pure. I'm like,
so
I'm
this
not...
is still a business for you?
Yes.
Okay. Because if it is just a hobby, I wouldn't want to batch that, right? I want to just be able to come back to that every little bits every day.
Yep. And to clarify, so there's some revenue coming in.
Yeah.
Typically, right now, it's through YouTube dedicated videos, because I do have the SEO background and yeah. the marketing background, where companies are like, hey, can you do a video? And I'm like, I don't have to do it, so I can negotiate pretty strongly.
Sure.
And basically pay for our healthcare.
Yeah.
So okay. we pay through ACA.
Yeah.
So I could pay for healthcare. And then, so that said, I also don't want to earn too much money, because this consult your own financial professionals.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
To pay for your own insurance, you can get subsidies if your income is in a
certain bracket
range, mm-hmm. Which ours is, which is good.
Yeah.
So, it's thousands of dollars per year.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
But, and that's where we're trying to get. I mean, we're not at that level yet, but that's where we're trying to get to without the, I still want to work the same hours I work. And I still want to do things I like doing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't know what would, like, so if, as an example, in a hypothetical world, if my three pillars are business and let's call it body, and I need a B word for leisure.
We'll have to think about
bullshit.
That.
Yeah, just like relaxing, you know, just relaxing, leaning back. I don't know. Some sort of like chilling out. There's got to be a B word there. Anyway, so if Swim University, for whatever reason, I get it to a certain point and someone wants to buy it, and if I were to sell it, the money I would make from that sale would allow me to hit the goal that I ultimately mm-hmm. want, which is like, I don't have to work. I choose to work, which I guess I'm calling financial independence. I keep saying retire. I want to be retired, mm-hmm. but I don't want to stop working. I'm absolutely replacing that gap in my – like I'm replacing it with something. I don't know what it would be, but I would replace it. Like I would just not do it in pools, but mm-hmm. I would probably do the exact same work. I would probably truthfully do this. Mm-hmm. Video.
And just hang out. See, and the thing, so.
I don't know, but it would still have to be tied to money. Like, because it's a business. So the point of the business is like, even if it's mm-hmm. only a couple $1,000 or whatever, it has to have that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's so interesting because we'll wrap up here in the next 10 minutes or so, just so I don't keep you all afternoon.
Oh, I don't care.
It's interesting because I have some friends who, they have stopped working, but then they went back.
Yeah.
Or they continue to work when they can stop. And maybe they've done that job for many years. And I'm like, I feel like they're making a mistake because the opportunity cost of them continuing to do the same thing for longer mm-hmm. is worse than doing something new and novel.
So new,
and that's me judging other people. So I understand the flaws in that. But when I see people and they're like, "Oh, I still want to be a lawyer for longer," I'm like, "You've done it for like 20 years already."
It's also they're very good at it, so they don't have to learn a new skill. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just, and it's probably easier. It's like being a consultant in business. Like that. How to me that sounds like the greatest job ever. Like
right.
all I do is you call me when you have a problem. I hear the problem and I'm like, well, here's what I do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's the easiest job because I worked 30 years to earn that knowledge. And now it's just free, or it's not free. I get paid to share it. Mm-hmm. Or like an advisory role would be sick. But it's not work to me. That doesn't feel like work. But like I think there's something to do with like, and maybe this is not the same thing you're saying, but there is something to feeling useful or purpose, or not purpose is not the right word, but like being useful outside of like, because leisure is not useful to other people mostly. Health is, you know, again, you could make all these arguments that it's useful to somebody. But in the case of like running a business, like it feels good to have something that you're doing that has purpose or that is useful mm-hmm. in society.
And that's for stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Cause that would be considered work. Talking about. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So actually interesting you say that. Cause that means it doesn't have to be tied to money.
Yep.
That means it literally just has to be some form of work.
Value to someone else.
Oh yeah. In a heartbeat. I do that.
Cause that's one thing with the FIRE community is like a lot of people have a scarcity mindset and then they do not volunteer. And
what do you mean by scarce? What do you mean? In what way? Like scarcity of hours or time?
Scarcity of money and resources. So they're like,
even
less,
after the fact.
Correct. Yeah. And I mean, I'm slightly susceptible. I mean, I've volunteered and Elizabeth volunteers at the library. So we do some stuff, but I think some people are just like, I'm keeping mine kind of thing. And it's also, there's a lot of generous people. There's a lot of very generous people that donate a lot and that sort of thing. But a lot of times I've heard people, it's just, there's a wide range of stuff.
Do you think there's a number in terms of the money that they have accumulated in their working time that, I'm okay. Like, it's like they call it FU money, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, once you get to a point, then it's like, oh, well, I don't need to worry. Cause like, I can see hitting the exact FIRE number that you need to survive in your current position.
Mm-hmm.
It's tight. That's a tight number, right? Like, I have a friend who wants to get, he wants to be barista FIRE, which is like FIRE enough where he can work a job where he gets paid $15 an hour. You know what I mean? Just for the health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you can't volunteer because like you still actually need a little bit of that money to like, or just in case, you never know, something might happen, you know? Mm-hmm. But if you had, I don't know, $50 million in the bank, and you're like, I don't need, like, I don't need a boat or a helicopter, right? I don't need two cars. So it's like, yeah, I can live off of $3,000 a month. Like, I'm completely happy with that. So like, I don't know, but I have $50 million. Yeah, I'm volunteering all day because there's no scarcity, right?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, what was your question?
Well, I don't know if I had a question, but it's like, there's a number in which they would volunteer.
Oh.
Right? Because it's like, where it's like, oh, I actually don't need, the money's like, I don't need it.
Yeah. Anymore. I don't know. I obviously,
yeah,
hypothetical
yeah, yeah,
example, yeah. But there's not as much volunteering that I see.
That you think would happen.
Yeah. And we were just talking about this. So like I could be off and there are people, I forget the guy's name, but there were some folks that were putting together like volunteer projects related to like some FIRE retreats that I go to. And that's cool. Like they're trying to get out and do stuff. But there's also, again, the scarcity mindset and also just people not.
I don't even know if I would, you know, like I would just work at a place for free.
Yeah.
I would do a job that I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, that like didn't require, you know, like a hard skill set, like, you know,
right.
an easy skill set. But I'm like, I've never done this before. I would love to do it. But I'm like, you don't have to pay me because I don't need it.
I think it's super interesting because
then you can yell at me if I don't do something. If I'm not being paid, you can't be yelling at me, dude.
When I hear, and I think it's totally fine. Some people, because what it comes down to is you're like, I feel like I should be productive and contribute to society
kind of thing. That's it.
Yeah. And I heard one of my friends say this on a podcast the other day also. And I was like, I think, because they were kind of shitting on the FIRE movement. They're like, I'm going to keep working. And these guys, I mean, they're self-employed. They actually have a podcast as well. But the thing is, number one, if I kept working, I'm taking a job from someone else, right?
Yeah,
so that's kind of shitty. My leisurely lifestyle, I spend money, and that's a good, very good thing. And I spend it locally pretty often.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not always, but often. And that's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
So I understand he was talking about himself and you're talking about yourself. We were like, I want to contribute, but I'm like,
but all right. So you know how like you hear about those stories of people dying after they retire when they're older, right? Because they're like, their mind goes because they have to do Sudoku puzzles. Right. Mm-hmm. Or they have to do crossword puzzles. I'm like, or you could just go get a job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's you don't get to sit.
The biggest thing is, you're hitting
on my butt. Thing.
It's if you don't do anything, but I'm not doing anything.
I'm doing
wonderful things. I have a great social
network. Yeah.
And it's like the social portion of it and the community is like one of the biggest aspects. And that all actually stimulates your mind quite a bit. But the point is you don't want to sit down and like just watch TV or scroll whatever.
Right.
But you
that's
can
not
get
my
a job.
Idea of leisure either. Just
right.
To be clear.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's not doom scrolling. That's why I need to figure out what it is.
Yeah.
You know,
but getting a job, like it serves a social thing. You have to learn new stuff, blah, blah, blah.
It keeps your mind active. It's that feeling of productivity and or just helping someone, just being of service to something else outside.
The volunteering
yourself.
Is probably one of the best things you can do. But I continue to fight with or argue with people about like I think it's fine if you don't work. You don't have to fuck. I mean, not you directly.
Yeah.
I think people are just used to it and they can't imagine not working. But me and Elizabeth not working, I'll tell you, it's motherfucking awesome, dude.
Yeah.
I can't, like, we're so much happier than, but I'm not prescribing that to everyone. It just turns out our personalities.
I think that feels like you say that, and I'm like, that sounds great. Cause
it's
I'm like,
fucking awesome,
yeah.
Dude.
And I'm like, that's why I want the number where I can say, I don't have to do this. Like, I don't have to do this. I now want to do this.
Right.
And truthfully, like, what I do now is I do kind of want to do it. You know, it is fun in some respects. There are parts of the job that are not fun, but ultimately I know it's because I'm going to get reach that number. But once the goal's over, like I was saying earlier, once the goal's reached,
then you're like, oh. And I think what I hope people do, like when you hit your number and everything, that you'll,
which I don't know what it is,
you'll take some time and not jump to the, because I've seen people, actually I had a couple friends, they started nonprofits and then they were so goal oriented that they created a job and then they were like, wait, what am I doing?
And it's probably worse than they had it before.
Yeah. It was like an arbitrary goal because they set smart goals just like they did. Yep. And then they were like, oh, hold on. They actually figured it out, but they had a bit of a crisis for about a year or so, like each of them. And they were great charities, nonprofits that they started. And I mean, they literally started it themselves. And they had to backtrack because they realized. And anyway, you'll figure it out.
That part I'm not super. I just do need to figure out the leisure part.
Yeah.
Because it can't.
It can't be drinking because we could do that. I was like, hey, Matt, we can bring down a beer to crack open. But he was good. Like, not gonna do it.
Not gonna do it. There's like, it's like I could open my garage door, sit down in my chair, drink some beers. I'm like, that's leisure.
I got a Prost keg, it's German pills. We just have a little sip. You ready? Okay. Last question. Have you deleted the stuff yet? You said, hey, I'm gonna delete all this shit. Like, where does it stand?
It is not deleted yet. It's on my calendar to do at the end of April.
Okay.
Specifically, the podcast will be deleted off the internet for two reasons. One reason is I don't want to pay the bill to keep it up because it does cost money. It's not a lot of money. I could obviously keep it up, but I don't know. There's some like, I like keeping things neat and clean. I like just like not having, you know, just not getting that email like, oh, you just paid an invoice. It's like, I know I can remove that from my inbox. I get it, but I don't know. Just like not having that thing any to pay for anymore is relieving. I don't have a plan to start a podcast. And if I do, I'll just buy it again. Like it doesn't go away. It's just, you know, it's a service.
Yeah.
So I've also deleted all of those recordings off my computer. So they're nowhere.
Gone.
If that's gone, it's gone. So if anybody wants to download it as an archive, that's up to you. But like to me, I'm not precious when it comes to things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm never gonna listen back to any of those. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The second reason is I think is kind of what I touched on a little bit earlier. Like, I'm finally okay with just being the guy who does pools on, like, in public, you know, the internet public. And so anytime sometimes, you know, people will see me as the pool guy and they're like, and then they find Money Lab later and they're like, oh, you're also talking about you're talking about the business that you're like, eh, you know, it just feels a little weird. But then I'll have people who follow me on Brew Cabin and they're like, wait, you're the pool guy. Cause they have pools. Yeah. And they're like, oh wow, this is crazy. Like I watch your other channel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's a little better, but, and so like the Brew Cabin, I won't take down because one, it's YouTube,
cool.
It's free.
Yeah.
And you know, those videos are very good. I'm very proud of those videos and I have more coming. Mm-hmm. I just, cause they're like on my plate.
You're going to finish them.
I'm going to finish them. Yeah. And I, that one I want to be able to pick back up because if I do say sell some university or something happens, that's probably the other business I'll do. Like,
yeah.
I'll probably just do that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just don't want to be on the internet as a guy talking about business anymore, because I am currently actively in a business, mm-hmm. and I just, I don't know. Ever since crypto, mm-hmm. I kind of, and truthfully, ever since the crypto thing started, AI started, and then like truly the Manosphere stuff, I'm like, I don't know if I want to be part of that. I know I'm not, but it's, you know, I'm adjacent to it, and I just kind of want to like stay in my pool yeah. lane, you know, my swim lane, if you will.
I interesting. Okay, that all makes sense.
And then for the newsletter, I technically have it for a year.
Okay,
because so I bought it for a year and I couldn't get a refund. So
we could send out this episode to the.
I could do that. I just yeah.
You don't have to, no. but that'll help my listenership.
Yeah, I just was like, all right, I guess I just got, you know, it's fine, whatever. I did it. I commit it.
And I mean, in the last episode, you're like, oh, maybe I'll be on some shows, which yeah. is why I asked you. And like, it's down the street. So like, it's like we were talking about, it's fun to
I would do just this all, shoot the like, shit. Yeah. I would do this all because I don't have to publish it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't have to do any of the other work.
Yeah.
And I still get to talk, which I do like doing. This is kind of leisure for me at this point. It doesn't feel like work at yeah. all. So yeah, I would do this all day.
Yeah.
But then if I had too many offers, then I can't get some university work done. And then I'm like, well,
yeah.
Yeah. Again, for who, for what?
Yeah. Very, very cool. Okay. Well, it was good to dig into some of these things and hopefully it answers some questions of your former listeners out there.
Maybe I think I've just made it more unclear. I feel like I'm just like, I started talking about my mental health and, just to be clear, the podcast was, I enjoy doing it. It was very easy to do and I loved it. And I still love the idea of doing it. I stopped it to focus on something else.
Yeah.
You know,
it's great when you quit stuff. It does really, even if it's, you said, hey, it's easy. It's still a thing that you were like, oh, I need to. And you were publishing so fucking much mm-hmm. that it was kind of ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like I could never keep up.
And I had every right to pull back. You know, yeah. I was like, oh, I'll just go down to, I'll go back down to 3 days a week again, which is what I did towards the end. Cause mm-hmm. I'm like, meh.
Yeah.
You know, cause I'm like, I don't, and a lot of it was, and I said it in the email too, is like, I lost stuff to talk about. Cause I'm like, well, my business is like so boring. I'm just cranking over the same things. So I'm like not doing anything interesting. People weren't emailing in with questions. So I was like, well, I don't really have much to talk about. So I'm like, I wasn't walking as much, but I would still go out there and like just pace, you know,
yeah.
just for the hell of it. So yeah, I lost stuff to talk about and I wasn't consuming as much business content. Like I stopped, I unfollow a lot of those people that I mentioned because I'm like, stop giving me more ideas. I know what I'm supposed to do. I don't need more chatter. It's like, hey, have you tried?
It's the classic.
Yeah, it's, have you tried this AI trick? I'm like, no, but I'm going down to the basement right now and fire my computer and I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ugh. And then I waste it like 3 hours screwing around with Claude Cowork and I end up getting nothing done. That's like,
yeah, yeah.
All right, this was a waste of time.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll have you back on before too long.
Sweet.
And thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for
appreciate
having me.
It.
Yeah. Thank you.
People could find you nowhere.
That's right.
Right. I have a bunch of guitars out and we played some music together a little while back. Have you been playing much or doing anything or any?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Okay.
Not since that one time.
Yeah.
When I have to do a project, I'll do it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But if I don't have to do a project,
you didn't have
anything. Well, that's not true. I mean, like I'll hear some song while I'm working and then I'll pull the guitar up and then I'll plug it in and I'll hook up the amp.
Okay.
And I'll mess around for like 30 minutes and then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I'm like, wait, why? I don't have nothing to do. <I'm> just, yeah. So I just give it up.
And when I went over, I can't remember which amp you have. It's an Orange something. Is it like 35 watt? Tell me the specs on
Orange
that.
Rocker 35.
Okay. Is it 212?
210, I believe.
210. Oh, nice. Okay.
Is that right? That makes sense.
Yeah. it's yeah, common 12 to
would
have
be two. A, that'd be a huge
yeah
box.
But somehow, I mean, it is a
it's loud. It's,
yeah, yeah,
it's loud. It's I'm surprised. I bought it because it was small,
right?
And I can barely turn it up, like it's one. I have yeah. to like that, you know, because it's you know it's tube amp.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I go to turn the knob, and I get a sound, and it's like cool. But if I go any louder, I'm like, oh my god, it's too loud. And there's like this perfect spot where it makes sound, and it's the quietest it'll go. But if you turn it anywhere below that, yeah, you get nothing.
Not much. It's funny. I knew, like, I have the one in front of us. It's like a 15 watt tube.
The one that's down there.
Yep. Correct.
Yeah.
And I had that first, and it can keep up with a drummer. It's loud enough. It stays clean-ish for a little while. And then I got a 5 watt, like Champ. That's the smaller one mm-hmm. down there.
Is it the same company?
It is a different company. That one is like a boutique, handmade mm-hmm. little guy. And that sounds really good. Oh, yeah, that's the one I brought to your house. That's it sounds really
Carl's,
good.
Carl's yep. amp, yeah.
Carl's Custom Amps out of New Mexico. And then I was thinking, all right, like I know you mentioned your 35 water was like super loud. And,
so loud.
You know, you hear people talk about like, you really don't need like that big of wattage. I'm just playing for fun.
Yeah.
But I ended up getting that 50 watt over there, which sounds beautiful. It's a much bigger, it's a 1x12 in that cab over uh-huh. there, which is the same as the Blues Junior, but it sounds so much better with like a bigger box.
Oh,
so interesting. And then with the 50 watts, like you can crank it up insanely loud, but the other thing is it stays clean, much louder. So it can play
right.
nice clean
and
tones.
And I guess it's high treble or no, does it give you a lot of bass?
Both. I mean, okay. it can give you a lot of bass, particularly like because it's a big cab.
Mm-hmm.
So it does sound pretty bassy if you turn it up.
Oh, I meant the smaller ones.
Oh, the smaller ones, not very much bass.
Yeah, okay.
They're pretty mid forward.
I had one similar to the Fender you have there, but it yeah. was a silver, you know,
sure.
grape. And it's like the standard one I think you get, you know, it okay. was a decent amp. Probably the size of that, like the brown one you have there yeah. or the rocker that I have.
Okay.
But Fender.
Was it like a Fender Deluxe Reverb or something?
Must have
like
been.
That? Yeah. Okay.
Cause it's a popular one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
And I've looked at, and I, like those would have been another choice also.
That was the first one I ever had.
Okay.
First amp I ever had.
And it could have been, I mean, back in cause that was like in the 2000s or whatever, early 2000s.
90s.
No. Okay.
Yeah. Like 90. Four.
Okay.
Yeah.
1900s.
The 1900s. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I was going to say, like, those could have been like solids. Or was it a tube amp? Or do you know?
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I don't know.
It had to have been, right? Because there's back then in the 1900s, yeah, early 1900s, late 1900s.
They had the solid state. So it could have been like, any number, it could have been a Champ X or yeah. I don't know the exact name, but they had a handful.
Can you turn me up here?
Or yeah.
So I can hear myself in my own headphones.
Okay. And you went, do you want?
I feel like I'm yelling. Oh. Am I yelling? It was loud before and now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I turned you a little bit down.
You turned me down, then I okay. realized, because I was like, I don't want to hear myself.
Yeah.
But now I feel like I'm yelling. So
okay. Do I stand up?
You sound perfectly clear.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you, I was going to say, you're a little bit louder, so I do want to...
Oh, I'm louder.
On there.
I just need it louder. Okay. Yeah, in my cans, as I say.
There you go.
In the studio world.
And I'll turn that down. Okay.
Yeah.
Does that sound a little better?
Yeah.
Or you have to talk?
Yes.
Okay. As I like using headphones. We'll leave that in. I was going to say, I like using headphones because it kind of isolates the situation. But I was going to say, like, you're a pro, so you like to hear yourself in your headphones. I do, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I need them, like, cranked.
Okay.
If I'm recording.
Sure.
But, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. This level is good now.
A little bit
more. Okay. Okay.
But you're getting louder, too.
Right. Yeah.
But that's fine. I'm okay with you being loud.
Yeah.
I just don't want to feel like I'm screaming.
Okay.
Because I'm like trying to scream through my headphones. I can also just take one ear off.
Oh, and you know? Do that. Yeah.
Which is what usually what I do when I'm like, if I have to record vocals,
right.
I do it this way. Or I'll put my finger in my ear.
sometimes just to hear myself.
Okay. You put your finger in there. Yeah, it's good.
Just, you know, it's an old singer's trick. I don't know.
All right.